Welcome to the Lobby Pod. This is Damian O'Doherty with two very special guests and close friends, Steve Silverman. He is the former chief of economic development in Montgomery County and a longtime countywide, or as they say, they're at large council member for Montgomery County, and is the founder, president, CEO of SS Gov Relations. Thanks so much for joining us, Steve.
Happy to be here.
Also, we have Jonathan Rowland. Jonathan is leading many efforts across the state. You may not know them until we talk about them today, but he is the chief executive officer of Rowland Strategies. They're located in Baltimore's Fells Point neighborhood, I like to say. It's a very hospitable area in non-pandemic times. And Jonathan has also been at the center of a lot of great work for the Democratic Party in Maryland, especially their business council, which is, you know, a challenging role for anybody that has played that part. Hey guys, one alumni of both your worlds, I think, Rich Parsons had a pretty big week. You know, he started the week by winning the vote for Governor Hogan and pro-transportation enthusiasts across the region for this Capitol Beltway expansion. And then his son went on to win the gold in Lake Placid for a really important ice skating contest up there. I think he's on top of the world. What do you think, fellas?
I think he is. Now I think he's hoping that the Sox get back in first place. That's Red Sox, by the way.
Jonathan, what do you think?
No, I think Rich Parsons is, you know, a great person who's, you know, done a lot to advance transportation, you know, in Montgomery County and throughout the state. And, you know, I think he's riding high right now for good reason.
I think he's a former Democratic Party executive director and a member of the Democratic Party business council there that you've been working on. I think he was working on it when I started out in politics. So you have that together. Steve, talk to me about your view of sort of the Annapolis, Washington landscape, but from Maryland's most populous county. I mean, nobody knows that place better than you, forward and but backward. It's tough to be such a keen understander and comprehender of Montgomery County decision making decades back. And also, you know, you remain a visionary status, always trying to hold the whole region, state, to a little bit of higher view of what's possible on mobility and economic development. Just love to hear your point of view if I haven't tainted you by introduction already.
That's all right. I appreciate it. Well, the first thing that's really exciting is the fact that in 2014, two of the three candidates for governor were from Montgomery County, Doug Gansler and Heather Mazur. Doug is attempting a comeback 8 years later, but the field is awash in Montgomery County candidates for governor. Peter Francho, John King, Tom Perez, Michael Rosenbaum, who's from Baltimore, but really from Montgomery County. Peter Francho, of course. So we're very bullish and optimistic that for the first time in, I don't know, 100 years, I've lost track, there might actually be a governor from Montgomery County, which would make a big difference. We're so federal oriented that it's hard to get folks to understand, particularly the business community, how important it is to actually have a governor from a particular jurisdiction. Because as we all know, as insiders, the governor takes first cut at the budget, particularly the capital budget. Even though the legislature can make some changes, take a look at the Hogan Transportation Plan, driven by a governor. Intercounty Connector years ago, driven first by Paris Glendening, then by Bob Ehrlich. The Purple Line, you know, driven by Martin O'Malley and then picked up by the governor. These are very important issues to the county, to residents and to the business community, as well as just the issue of school construction, which in this environment should be looked at as a job creator. When you talk about people who are no longer employed as a result of the pandemic, I think people have to start looking at pathways for people to succeed. And the construction industry is certainly a place where historically people have started out, you know, working on the job, carrying, you know, buckets around or tools around, and then have risen up through the ranks and can make a really good living. So we're very excited about the prospects for a governor. And then, of course, the challenge, or one of the challenges, and I'm very appreciative of the fact that Senate President Bill Ferguson and Speaker Adrian Jones, even though they're from the Baltimore region, have respected the Washington metropolitan area in terms of Montgomery and Prince George's County. There's always a concern about that in terms of leadership in the General Assembly. So we're looking forward to changing of the guard at the governorship and continued effort on the part of our local delegation to have influence around issues that make a difference.
Jonathan, you're hearing a lot of that. You're in some similar circles, some different circles. What's your take on what's happening there in the big county, as I like to call it?
Well, in Montgomery County, you know, specific, you know, I think there's going to be a huge issue coming up, I think, for the gubernatorial candidates, as well as the county executive and county council races that come up, is really focused on the economy. You know, you've had this report that's come out by Empower Montgomery talking about just the sluggish economic growth in the county. And I really think this is going to be put at the top of mind of voters. You know, Montgomery County relies, you know, a lot on the federal workforce, but it also has a thriving private industry, and they've been losing jobs to Prince George's County, across the road to Virginia. So, you know, I think when we're sort of thinking about both the gubernatorial race, with so many of these gubernatorial candidates coming from Montgomery County, actually, you know, weird enough, coming from the Republic of Tacoma Park, I think there's four of them. you know, I think that, you know, economy and jobs is going to be top of mind.
Maybe there'll be some experience like Steve and I have seen in the past, where some data gets shared, or some way the constituency sort of gets outside of, I think, its expected place in the conversation. You know, if to me, there seems to be a sense of economic development, or you could say political malaise in the county, relative to certain, to Prince George's County, relative to the region, you know, but it has to, you know, people have to start talking above the usual din there in Montgomery County. You got a lot of new leadership there, Steve, in Montgomery County. To me, it seems like there's been a generational shift. You see somebody like Craig Zucker becoming the head of capital budget, or, you know, you see such a prominent role that Chairman Will Smith plays. You know, it seems like there's a bit of a crossroads opportunity between sort of this way things have always been done, with potentially a new set of leaders giving breath to, you know, a more idea focused, more economic development focused point of view. Is that possible, or am I in dreamland?
Oh, I think it's possible, but I think it's really going to be driven more by what I just call a triage element of the pandemic environment. We're still, and unfortunately, back in a place where their efforts are being made to curtail the pandemic by boosting vaccinations. As you see, there's discussions going on about vaccination mandates, or at least mandatory weekly testing for employees. You've got mask mandates for indoor places. I mean, we're not back to the depths, but, and certainly not, you know, comparable to Florida, but the uptick is clearly there, certainly in other parts of the state, but even in Montgomery and in the region. I think what will happen is the following, which is the only way, frankly, in a Democratic primary environment like Montgomery County is, that you can really get, you know, job growth, economic opportunity at the front and center of of the Democratic primary voters' mind. And I think that's getting through the pandemic. So you get to the point of, well, let's try to stop the pandemic through masks and vaccines. Then you move to the next level of, well, wait a minute, we've got this looming crisis with evictions because people have lost their jobs and they can't pay the rent. So that's the next thing that's being tackled right now through rental assistance. The moratorium on evictions is going to lift shortly in the fall. And the question is, well, what is exactly going to happen? That issue is going to have to get addressed. When those issues get addressed, then you move to people who are out of work. Montgomery County's latest unemployment statistics are that they are showing an unemployment rate of 6.4%, down from 9%. Now, that may sound pretty good, but pre-pandemic, Montgomery County's economic opportunities were extraordinary, and the unemployment rate was 3.2%. That's full employment in Montgomery County. So you've got thousands of people who are out of work. And the people who are out of work, frankly, are not the white collar jobs. They're all the people whose restaurants have closed or restaurants have cut back, small businesses. Those are not jobs that are going to pop back up immediately. And I think, you know, as long as there's a continued focus on the rental assistance eviction issue, the mask issue, the pandemic itself, vaccination rates, as long as that's the focus, frankly, it takes away from what would be normally a focus, which is job creation. And that's what happened 10 years ago during, you know, the post Great Recession, was all of a sudden everybody was talking about economic opportunities, business growth, job opportunities. And I think that I want to be optimistic and say that over the next several months, if the country can get its handle around the pandemic and can get around and deal with the rental assistance / eviction issue, then I think it's an open door in a Democratic primary to be talking about the thousands of people, you know, at the lower end of the economic scale who are out of work. And what's the plan to get them to work? And I want to be optimistic about that. And frankly, that's a core Democratic value. You know, going back, you know, to FDR days, if you want to talk about that. But in our county, you know, economic development sometimes is a four-letter word.
Well, it's like when we send our people to school, we're not sending them to school so they can't grow. Like, we want our people to grow as human beings. We should be able to have a conversation about how our community can grow without, you know, it should be a very regular conversation. So I think I see some light down there in Montgomery County, and it has some youth about it. One thing I want to commend both of you while I have you here for both vision and execution, and just sort of pulling the veil back a little bit. I got to see both of you, you know, sort of front row seats, work with a broad constituency of Montgomery County that said, you know, this current setup, this composition of the government, that, you know, it just leaves a lot of people out of the conversation, you know, and is there a smarter, more thoughtful way for our county council to be comprised? And, you know, you were brave enough to be one of the leaders to ask that question, Steve. And then, Jonathan, you were called upon what so many people would have just said it's not possible. But because you took on the challenge, you became a real innovator in the space. And that is getting something on the ballot during a pandemic. And just hats off to both of you for sort of winning the public mind share in, you know, one of America's most successful, most prominent, most intelligent communities. You went right to them and really enacted some great reform. I'd love to hear, Jonathan, some thoughts from you on that, and then see what Steve will let us know about his point of view on that experience. It was just, as a public affairs professional, it was, and a Maryland native, it was just fun to watch on so many levels.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Damian. For the listeners' benefit, you know, kind of what we were doing here is to really change the structure of the county council to push for additional councilmanic districts. You know, a lot of people might not know, but a lot of districts in Montgomery County County are the size of some U.S. districts, you know, in the country. So, you know, really what we wanted to push was just a better governance reform. And, you know, through the great work of Steve and others, you know, they were really able to build a great coalition of just, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Republicans, Democrats, independents, you had union support, you had developer support, you know, what we'd call an unholy alliance, but, you know, they all worked together to just sort of push this reform. And, you know, sort of where I came in and our company, Roland Strategies, came in was to, you know, actually collect the petition signatures, the 25,000 signatures that we had to gather in the middle of the pandemic. And you're right.
And this was like, you know, really early too. And I think you could argue there was a greatest amount of concern that maybe folks didn't stick with throughout, but they certainly had the moment you led that campaign.
Yeah. No, it was tricky. There really wasn't.
Give me some quick innovations for our crowd before get Steve's reaction to what the new council means for Montgomery County.
Yeah, I would say the biggest innovation we did was collecting signatures online. This is something that had never been done before. The state provided a exception for online collection of signatures. Really hasn't been done in the country. We started that process and created an application that we're working on beta testing for future use, but we were able to actually collect legally valid signatures for a referendum campaign. And I could get into it, but, you know, we were able to get 100% validity through this as well, which is a big deal for any petition nerds. You know, having a high validity rate is key to getting anything up on the ballot. So it was really a revolutionary process, you know, coming from, you know, collecting signatures on the street to collecting them online through hyper-targeted Facebook ads and programmatic ads. It was just a really great and interesting campaign, and we're glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, let me, you know, hats off completely to Jonathan who delivered. It's one thing to come up with the idea. I mean, Montgomery County went to a hybrid system of five districts, four at large, in 1990. Before that, they had a seven member council. It was all at large. They were out there, you know, trying to break it up into districts. And then as things have progressed, of course, the population has increased significantly over the last 30 years. A lot of people felt the districts were too big at a couple hundred thousand apiece. And so that was really the effort. And so we were able, through Jonathan's extraordinary efforts, to deliver getting it on the ballot. And then there were people who thought this was going to be a problem. It had been rejected, going to an all district mechanism had been rejected in the past overwhelmingly. This was going to create two more district seats. So it'd be seven districts and four at large. The reality is that they were able to deliver on the petitions, and then we ran this broad coalition campaign to get it passed. The key here, and why some of us are optimistic, I'm sure the unions are optimistic also, is so now you have an 11-member council. You got three term-limited council members, plus you've got two new seats that will be created. So on an 11-member body, you have at least five new faces that will show up after the next election. And the incumbents are presumably all running. You know, if they win, they win. But the reality is, this is really an extraordinary opportunity to put together a team, as frankly, some of us did 20 years ago with the end gridlock slate, which was all about transportation. And we flipped the council in that direction. And I'm optimistic that we'll be able
you
to
your
make
diapers, Jonathan, you know, when we were doing that. Rich Parsons had a full head of hair then.
That's right. And Damian, you were more than active, to say the least. But the point really is, it's an opportunity to focus on job opportunity and business and economic opportunity. That's the other thing, is what gets lost in the discussion about, you know, business creation is, along with home ownership, that is the best way for the minority community and women as well to build wealth. to pass along to the next generation. And everybody sort of understands that until you actually get to focus on, you know, elections. And that really isn't talked about. So we hope that what's going to happen over the next several months is to reframe this debate, picking up on the report that Empower Montgomery did, highlighting the lack of job growth and the lack of business establishment development, and reframe this as an issue that will make a big difference in a county that is majority minority. And we need to make sure that that message gets across, that this is not about real estate developers. It's not about the big companies. It's really about, you know, the small business community and the opportunity for businesses to be created and jobs to be created. And we hope that with at least five new openings on the council, that that message can get across and we can get a majority of the council that will focus on that over the next few years. Because respectfully, we do not have a county executive who is focused on this now.
MoCo Unfiltered here. What do you got, Jonathan? What do you got? Any final words for us? I know you got to go soon. I'd love to hear a little plug about your aunt and how she's inspired you, because she's the greatest of all time. Tell people who your aunt is.
Yeah, sure. So my aunt is Belly Ong Hong. She is a former DOD Assistant Secretary of Defense, was actually the highest ranked Asian woman in DOD history. And then after that illustrious career working for the federal government, she became the chair of the DNC Asian American AAPI caucus. So, you know, she's helped senators, congressmen and women and U.S. presidents. And, you know,
many people pick up the phone quickly when she
people. From a very early age, she made sure I was involved in Democratic politics, and which has sort of brought me here where I am today. So, you know, I owe her a lot, as does thousands of others that she's impacted in her life.
Steve, you too, probably. What do you got, Steve? Close us out.
Well, it's an exciting time. There's going to be a competitive county executive race and at least a half a dozen competitive council races. And I think this is a chance to turn the page. Never has the business community been as active in years and years, probably in 20 years in Montgomery County. And I'm excited about that. But again, I think the approach that we took during the ballot initiative to expand the council, of building a coalition across party lines, across age, demographic data, and involving the business community and unions, portends, I think, a very successful election cycle and hopefully policy changes going forward. Everybody agrees we need to expand the tax base to pay for programs and services that we all love. It's just getting the folks in there that will show the leadership to get it done. And I'm optimistic about that.
Steve, how do people find you?
You can find me at steve.silverman@ssgovrelations.com, or the website is ssgovrelations. Happy to communicate. Unlike Peter Franchot, I'm not going to give you my cell phone number.
That's fair. I like Nick D'Adamo, the former Baltimore City councilman, used to give out a card and it had no contact information on it. He's like, why would I give that out? Jonathan Rowland, where can people find you?
Yeah, they can find us at rolandstrategies.com. You know, hit us up. You know, we're down in Fells Point, so we're always okay taking people out for a nice drink and enjoying the great views.
See, you've got some O'Doherty Clyde development strategies there. Work, I admire them. All right, thanks so much. It's so wonderful to be plugged into Montgomery County. And know next time you're going to open up an even bigger view for us around what's going around the state. So appreciate it. And appreciate all the conversation today. Thanks, fellas.
Great. Thanks.